today on Doomed. It's Pride Month, and it appears that the far right, well, hell, the right wing in general, has decided to, go retro on us and bring us back in time a couple of decades with the new gay panic. It's been an all-out anti-LGBTQ plus hate front, I guess you can call it, in the past couple of months, really, leading up to Pride Month. And the latest event this past weekend saw 31 white supremacists arrested after they were uncovered hiding in the back of a U-Haul ready to disrupt a Pride event. Wonderful, right? Well, you know, we need we do on this show. We jump into this stuff, we cover these far-right movements, these reactionary groups, and we dive into what they're doing, why they're doing it, where they're going, and what's next, so we can, you know, keep on them. And joining me today, let me pull us up on the feed first of all, to break this all down for us, because she was there. And it was her reporting that you likely followed if you're aware of what happened. Joining me now, there you are on the feed. And let me pull up, there we go. Joining me now, she is a Syrian independent journalist who covers right-wing violence, mainly in the Pacific Northwest. Alyssa Azar, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here. Wish it was under better circumstances, but hey...
Right. But you know what? Yeah, you know, this show's used to it now. My listeners are used to it now. It's sad, but I mean, that's what this show covers. I mean, that's what we do here. And
there's people who care enough to listen in and be informed on what's actually going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly worrisome, the rise of the far right and white supremacist movements in the U.S. Like, obviously, they've always been there. They've always been here. But the rise literally over the past, what, 6-7 years, really you could draw a line from, you know, when Trump announced his presidency to where his presidential run, I should say, to here, you know, but they were there before that. And obviously they've never gone away, but, here we are now. And I think, you know, even more incredible actually is this moment we're in right now, because, you know, you could even say maybe over the past couple of years, after this new rise of the far right and white supremacist movements, there's been moments where, like, you know, after Unite the Right in Charlottesville, where it's like, you know, these guys, they did too much too quickly. They didn't convert enough people to their side before jumping right into full on, like, neo-Nazism. There were times where you could see, like, oh, maybe this movement's going to fail once again, like it always does. But, you know, these past couple of months with this new anti-LGBTQ stuff and this new gay panic, this new, like, moral panic we're seeing, even in, like, the mainstream right, where you think, like, even on that front, where, like, I feel like for years we've been hearing, like, no, conservatives are actually, you know, for the most part, most of them are just like, do what you want, it's your own business with, like, gay marriage and stuff. No, it's not even that anymore. It's full on everyone who's LGBTQ or even an ally is a pedophile or a groomer. It's like complete, like, we are literally living like decades ago now all of a sudden on this issue. It's literally mind-blowing to see what's been going on.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you had mentioned the increase in far-right groups. Just since 2019, the increase in anti-queer hate groups rose 43%. I would be terrified to know what that number is now. And, you know, you had mentioned Charlottesville. I'm sure we'll get into that later, because there's a lot of, you know, connection between Charlottesville and what we saw this past Saturday. And, you know, a lot of these groups, they kind of just, you know, float all over the place. You know, it's like, you know, they're talking about, you know, anti-CRT stuff, and then they kind of go into like this anti-trans, anti-abortion. It's a lot of the times we're seeing the same people just kind of go from you know, one hot topic to another. And unfortunately, because of their propaganda and their use of social media, they oftentimes have a lot of success, especially when they're kind of directing that towards a younger demographic.
Oh, right. Absolutely. And, you know, let's dive all into that in just a second. First, let's, I guess, get down to the basics of what was going on this weekend. You know, perhaps people are unfamiliar. I'm sure a lot of my listeners are familiar. But for people who are tuning into this and have no idea, you know, what happened this past weekend, break down where were you? Like, where were you this past weekend? What was the event going on, the city? You know, ostensibly, what were people doing?
Yeah, so on Saturday, there was an event in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which was called Pride in the Park. And, you know, the flyer for this event was put out by the organizers months in advance. And in response, there was going to be another, you know, counter event to take place in the same time, same place, called Gundalane, which brought the attention of a bunch of people from the far right. If you look on a lot of these, like, you know, far right extremist propagandist, you know, social media personalities, they kept boosting this event and kind of drawing more attention from, you know, all sorts of vile people. So, you know, after that, you know, more and more groups kept emerging, putting out either announcements or flyers that they would also be in attendance. People kind of created their own little prayer in the park marches and stuff like that from their own groups to take place in the same day. So, you know, on one side, you had a Pride in the Park event taking place, and then all these different right-wing and Christo-fascist groups also kind of conjugating in the same spot.
Right. So is this an event that, like, usually happens without, you know, without any issue? I mean, obviously, I don't know how long it's been going on. So I'm sure if you go far, if it has been going on for a long time, it probably has received some sort of blowback. But, you know, in recent years, I'm sure this is an event that just came and went without much fanfare.
Yeah. So this is the first time the event took place since the 2-year hiatus due to COVID. But prior to that, when it was happening, I don't think there was that much friction, and I know that the event was nowhere near as large as it was this past Saturday, that was the sentiment that was expressed from many organizers and locals of the event.
Got it.
Sorry.
Right. No, it's okay. I was going to ask, can you scooch over a little bit to your right? There's an issue with my, there we go. Perfect. Now you're perfectly centered. So this event that took place, so when you went, is this an event you would usually go and cover, or did you sort of know from chatter going around the social media and various different within different groups that something was going to happen here or something was going to be attempted here?
Yeah, so I mean, I would love to attend, you know, every single Pride event happening in the country, but I attended this event to cover it just because I knew that there was at least reportedly going to be a large presence of right-wing and violent right-wing extremists.
Right.
And, you know, that's largely what I focus on. Another part of the picture that I think a lot of people should know is that the group that was present at the Pride in the Park event, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody. There were definitely anti-fascists who were there, but for the most part, you know, this was like a very liberal demographic. There were cops that were, you know, walking back and forth in the Pride in the Park event. One of the Coeur d'Alene cops is actually is on the same board as the group who kind of put the whole Pride in the Park event together. So if there had been violence, you know, this is just, this was kind of a group that was targeted to be attacked that the right wasn't really targeting in the future. They were obviously targeting Pride events, but just kind of the demographic of people who would be there, you know. When I was there on Saturday, they kept calling anyone who would try to argue with them about whatever bullshit they were spewing. They're like, you know, oh, you're Antifa, aren't you? You're Antifa, aren't you? And, you know, when they say that, obviously they don't just mean literally, are you an anti-fascist? But, you know, they mean this like crazy made up Fox News version of Antifa that's being bussed in from, you know, liberal cities.
Right. Do you get, you know, do you receive your monthly salary from Antifa HQ in Portland and, you know, with multiple different facilities in New York City and Chicago? And yeah, of course, the Antifa exactly. super soldiers parachuting in to Cordial. Is it Cordial? Yeah. I'm unfamiliar with Idaho, honestly. How do you pronounce the city again?
It's Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene. I was going to say Antifa yeah. super soldiers yeah. parachuting into Coeur d'Alene. Right.
CDA, if I'm easier.
Right. Without giving away too much, if you know you have you know secret, special channels that you know to monitor, how did you know that there was going to be like was it just like from the various like sort of public calls we've seen, or was there more to it that sort of tipped you off to going there?
Absolutely. So the first tip-offs I got were I definitely saw a few posts on social media by leftists, but they were posting screenshots from, you know, their Telegram channels, the fascist Telegram channels. And I do keep up with their Telegram channels, but there's a lot to keep up with. And my focus is, you know, on the Pacific Northwest and kind of the groups that surround me. So if it wasn't for them, I likely wouldn't have known. But they were all posting in their channels that, you know, they were posting threats, you know, plans to attack that Pride in the Park event, and just started seeing more and more of them as the day grew closer.
Right. Now, I've seen the most mainstream call to action in terms of like someone on the right talking about this event. Again, I'm on the East Coast. I'm New York City, born, bred, live. This is, you know, and when I follow things going on the West Coast when it comes to, you know, right-wing violence, it's usually in like Seattle or Portland or, you know, a major city in California. So to hear something on the west side of the country in Idaho, it was completely like, you know, that's new to me even from covering this stuff. But what I did see interesting enough was, and I see a lot of people saying like this seems to be one avenue where they most likely probably heard from it. But do you think these right wingers found out about it from that insanely mainstream viral right wing account Libs of TikTok?
Absolutely. Libs of TikTok was, you know, one of the first major accounts earlier when I had mentioned these like, you know, right-wing extremist social media personalities. They were one of the first people who, you know, made this Pride in the Park event a threat. And, you know, subsequently, we had people like, I'm trying to think of his name, David Riley, who showed up because of it, and just, you know, really awful, vile pieces of fucking trash. Sorry, can I curse
you? You can say whatever you'd like. Go ahead. Yeah. Curse to your heart's content, especially on this show. I don't. You literally probably. I couldn't do it without dropping an F-bomb every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. How can you can't talk about Nazis and fascists without
saying fuck? Yeah.
Big mood.
Right.
But yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. I think Libs of TikTok, that disgusting account, had a major role in what happened in Idaho on Saturday.
Right. I mean, this is, I don't want to go off topic here, but I mean, probably this was a bigger Idaho event than this other event I'm going to bring up. You know, you can argue that, you know, Libs of TikTok played a part in here for sure. But then, like, I saw that there was that Proud Boys interrupting a drag queen story hour in a library in California. And it's like a library event. And higher right chick who runs Libs of TikTok posted about this library event for kids. And to me, without a doubt, like that one is like, I doubt there was any other news about this event other than from her outside of like the little community that goes to that local library. I mean, ridiculous that account is what that account does. And honestly, I think it's a big reason why we're seeing so much of this homophobic and transphobic hatred online, huge part in that. Especially when you got Fox News and Joe Rogan promoting the account. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
So you're at this event, and what did you first start seeing? Like, you know, interesting that you mentioned, the first thing that came to my mind when you mentioned how, like, one of the cops on the police department there is, like, on the board that helped put this together. It started to come together for me as to, like, oh, now it makes sense why, like, there was actually an arrest there. Like, they were not just interrupting a Pride event. They were interrupting a cop's Pride event. And it's like, that's the one new attribute that makes this different from all the other Pride events that they probably would have gotten away with harassing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think copaganda is another big part of it, too. I think they took advantage of a huge opportunity. I mean, you know, this big event going on in a city that doesn't usually have events like these taking place. And, you know, like you said earlier, you were mentioning Seattle or Portland, and there's almost, you know, every single time that there's been a right-wing demonstration here or some kind of counter protest, the police here are always just overtly either providing protection for the fascists and for the neo-Nazi groups. A handful of times have coordinated with them, and there's evidence of that. And I think this was also a time for them to be like, we're good cops.
Right.
So I don't know. There's a lot to it, but
when you pointed out, like, this was like an event with, like, in like a liberal city with a lot of liberal population, did you also sort of mean it in like the sense that there's not like a hardcore like leftist or anti-fascist activist scene, so like there weren't many anti-fascists there to like combat what was headed towards this event in this, like, you know, this nice liberal city that's not used to this type of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. But when I said the liberal demographic, I meant just for the Pride in the Park event itself. The city itself, I believe, is pretty conservative. Idaho, it's definitely over 70% white, and I know at least 70% voted for Trump. So definitely not like a liberal place.
Right. Well, there's always liberal cities in every red state, even. But that's what I was sort of asking. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but as far as what you just asked about, you know, more like militant anti-fascists who would fight back and, you know, be able to provide protection for when the cops aren't doing anything for, you know, all these innocent people who are just trying to enjoy Pride. Yeah, that wasn't a factor there. That, you know, at least not that I thought. I'm sure, like I said, there were a handful of people who are anti-fascists and, you know, maybe even militant anti-fascists. But when you are in that kind of you know, a demographic or a location, and, you know, you're one of the only one or one of the only few, there is only so much you can do without police retaliation.
Right. Right. Now, when you got there, was there already, were there other right-wing groups that were congregating there? Like, what did you see? Because obviously we'll get to the Patriot Front, you know, that's what everyone knows about. But I want to also sort of dive into, like, who else was there? Because it does seem like from your own, like, I was following you on Twitter, and even before, surprise, 31 Nazis in a U-Haul, back of a U-Haul truck, there seemed to be, like, there were people walking around armed and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Patriot Front group getting arrested was not until the very end of the event. You know, most people had already left or were leaving. So when I first got there, I parked a good ways away, and just on my walk over, it was awful. The first thing I saw was this like huge, like recommissioned fire truck that said LGBT, but it was like, what is it? Liberty, beer, guns, and I don't know what the T stands for, but it was like a really flashy recommissioned fire truck. There were cars like one after another, just trucks with Gadsden flags, Thin Blue Line flags, just covered in like Punisher stuff. There were so many Confederate flags, just a bunch of stuff like that. And then there was also a good amount of police on the ground, both like local law enforcement, state police, and feds that were there. And as I was walking into the park, it's a very large park. On the outskirts of everything, just kind of on my way there, just a bunch of people either holding just really awful anti-queer, anti-trans posters, a bunch of...
I see one on your feed, right? I'm going to bring it up on the, so people can see. There's this one. This is, I mean, again, this is the same sort of stuff we're seeing online. You put that there were Adam Waffen Division folks holding up this sign that said, "Groomers are not welcome in Idaho."
Yeah, I also want to clarify, I made a mistake when I posted that. They were wearing Adam Waffen skull masks, but it's not confirmed that that's who it was. It could also be the White Lives Matter dudes. But yeah, it's terrifying. And
safe
there
to
were
say, right-wing, white supremacist bigots.
Yeah, people who want queer people dead. Yeah. And yeah, they were just all over the place. There was definitely a lot more of them than there were people attending the Pride in the Park event. Lots of people in, like, you know, with all their gear on, open, having rifles and like multiple pistols on their waists. And yeah, they were just all over the place. But then it was so interesting because you walk in a little bit further and there's all these booths with, you know, colorful balloons and rainbows and, you know, people with glitter beards and colorful hair just dancing and enjoying their day. Just as
the horror.
Yeah.
The horror. So I just caught that actually. This was a small event, like even the Pride in the Park event, like in terms of like people there to actually have a good time and celebrate and not be fascists. Yeah. Like what would you put the number at, like in terms of like, you know, I know you're not a professional crowd estimator, but do your best.
You know, obviously there were a lot of people in and out throughout the day, but I would say like the entire crowd size was maybe 100 to 150 people. So really not that many people.
All right. So did anything happen in terms of, was there any confrontations? Was there any issues before the U-Haul truck, or was it pretty much just a bunch of, you know, a bunch of white supremacists protesting outside and I'm assuming people yelling back at them and the cops sort of making sure that was the most of it?
There were some things that happened. You know, pretty early on in the day, there was an anti-fascist who was there that was armed. There was kind of a confrontation with the police because they told them that they were going to be arrested if they didn't get off the property and we're going to get them with trespassing, even though, mind you, there were hundreds of armed fascists in the park that they didn't seem to mind having weapons on them. And then, you know, not long after that, there was also a group of fascists who started assaulting and harassing a very visibly trans woman. And the police ended up arresting her for no good reason and just left the fascist alone. So that was something else that took place. That picture that you just shared, so that's when they had showed up again. They showed up to the Pride event earlier on in the day, and a group of anti-fascists went to confront them and push them out of the park, which they successfully did. But those confrontations were very limited because there was a group there from the people who organized the event. If I remember correctly, they were wearing like orange safety vests, but they kind of kept going up to people who would start engaging with, you know, the various types of fascist neo-Nazis and militia groups and telling them to back off and kind of peace policing and telling people how they should or shouldn't, you know, stand up to fascists. So that seems to limit a lot of it. Also, the police were a huge factor because there was a very large police presence. The cops were everywhere. So
Do you know, or if you don't know, do you think that they were tipped off that something? Well, I mean, I guess we do, being that what happened later. We'll get to that. Let's get to that first, then I'll ask you about that. So let's get to the big event, that moment that everyone knows about. You know, I really do feel strongly that you gotta, like, you know, pick your moments and take the wins where you could get them. And I think this is a moment where, regardless of the fact that it's dependent on the police actually doing what is supposedly their job, you know, good that they actually did something. Because rarely, like you mentioned earlier, does that happen. So what went on with the Patriot Front folks who showed up? I guess first, who is Patriot Front?
Yeah. So Patriot Front is a fascist neo-Nazi group. Their group began in Texas in 2017 in the aftermath of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. They kind of like rebranded from Vanguard America to Patriot Front after one of its members killed counter-protester Heather Heyer at the event. The founder of Patriot Front, Thomas Rousseau, is actually buddies with James Fields, who is the guy who murdered Heather Heyer. And Rousseau actually led the march during the Unite the Right rally that day in Charlottesville. And like, what else can I say? According to their manifesto, their content warning, their extremely, extremely racist and anti-Semitic manifesto, Patriot Front advocates for a separate white Christian-only American ethnostate.
Right, right. I mean, so these are the guys who broke off with Vanguard America, and I guess were the ones who supported what happened to the Unite the Right rally, right? Judging by what you just said, like, these aren't the guys who, I guess, the other side that, you know, that went their own way. I guess they realized that there was at the very least bad optics to murder somebody at an event.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. The whole rebranding is only and entirely about optics.
Right.
I mean, you had people who were obviously condemning them because of the murder of Heather Heyer, but also that day, you know, now you kind of see them with very veiled, like, they don't advertise it as "we are Nazis." They don't walk around with swastikas and stuff like that. But that day in Charlottesville, they were, and they were also getting a lot of kickback from that. So the rebranding is definitely entirely about optics.
And these are the guys who people have probably seen them. They've previously done these, and interestingly enough, used the U-Hauls to carry them around. They've done like full on, like sort of like street takeover marches. And like, I believe I've seen them before in Washington, D.C. and in various other locations around the country. So this wasn't their like first hurrah in real life since Charlottesville. Like, these guys regularly go out and like train for these sort of like, at the very least, intimidation tactic affairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what ended up happening? Like, you didn't see them at all during the event. Like, they were just not there. And then all of a sudden, why don't you tell us about, from the moment, like, before and where they weren't. And then all of a sudden, hello, 31 people in the back of a U-Haul.
Yeah. So no, they were not present, at least not as far as I saw, the entire time of the Pride in the Park event. And like I said, you know, the event was almost over. I was, you know, planning on leaving in about 30 minutes to start making my way back to Portland. And I just remember seeing there was a cop, a sheriff in particular, who started just running as fast as he can. And for some reason, he had his baton out in his hand. And behind him were like maybe 6 or 7 additional dudes that were part of a Christo fascist militia. They were also running behind him. So I thought that was really odd, and obviously something was going down. So I decided to follow them. And it was a good distance away from the park, probably like a quarter mile. It's a very big park. It's on a campus. And after you get out of the park, it was at least like a block and a half away. And I just remember seeing a bunch of police cars, and there was also like a white Fed car that was unmarked, and I didn't know it was a Fed car at the time. So, and it was facing the wrong direction in the street. So I was like, maybe there's a car accident with some fash. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then I remember right after thinking that, I was like, holy shit, am I seeing this right? Because I could tell it was Patriot Front by what they were wearing. And I just see this like big group of dudes that look like they work at Best Buy on their knees with their hands behind their back. And it was just so surreal, because you never really see law enforcement and police interacting with fascists like this. You know, it's always giving them protection or, you know, something positive, never anything like that. So
right. I love how you just said it looked like a bunch of dudes from Best Buy are being arrested. They pulled over the Geek Squad. Oh my God. I mean, I saw this and I was like, what was, you know, a lot of people were making mention about how they were, you know, allowed to wear their masks. But yeah. I guess that was sort of just at the moment. Cause it does seem like they unmasked them pretty quickly after they sort of got everything together.
Yeah, I think a big part of that has to do with, so the first video I posted, you know, I got there right as it all started happening. So they had just been placed on the ground. They were all kneeling on their knees and they had their hands zip tied behind their backs. And it was only like a 30 to 40 second clip of, you know, just kind of panning across showing what was going on. But right after that, they started picking them up one by one, taking them to the police vehicles, and just, you know, patting them down, searching everything, taking their masks off, Scooby-Doo style. And so they were all unmasked. But yeah, I think it's just because of that first video. People didn't care to look or scroll what happened 2 seconds after that.
Right. Yeah,
but they definitely all got unmasked.
And were they saying, were they audibly saying anything while they were kneeling down on the floor like that? Were they like, could you hear anything coming from these guys?
Yeah, if they were saying anything, I definitely would have been able to hear them, and not one of them made a peep. They were silent the entire time. I don't know, that could be different when they were talking to the cops and getting patted down by the cops and unmasked, but when they were kneeling on the ground, they were just completely silent.
And what about the cops? I've seen reports that that, you know, they were saying things like how they, I saw one, I might have been you, but I don't recall. Might have been someone else. Basically, like, they heard a cop saying, like, oh, we got a tip from someone in the group or something like that. Do you have any details about that? Or, you know, was it unconfirmed about how the police got a tip off on these guys?
Yeah, so what you just mentioned about the call came later. I think I know what you're referring to. That wasn't my video, but somebody got a cop on video saying that they were arrested because they got a tip from the FBI, and they said that the FBI had infiltrated their group chats or some of their group chats, and that's kind of how they learned their plans for the day. But afterwards, in a press conference, the cops started saying that they learned about that because they got a call from a concerned citizen. But then they also went on to mention again that they had been working with the FBI. So right now, the cops, as far as what the cops are saying, they kind of left it on that they got a call from a concerned citizen. I personally don't buy that. You know, they showed up from 11 different states. I have a hard time believing that the feds didn't already know about their plans or didn't already know about them coming to, you know, the Pride in the Park event in Idaho. But that's just kind of my opinion. I don't really know. I also, in my thread that I had going on Saturday, at one point I had mentioned, and this was before the Patriot Front arrests, that it did appear that the cops were taking orders from feds that day. So, yeah.
Now, have you seen that rumor that I saw that, it's a possibility, or there was some sort of leak where Patriot Front or a member or certain members of Patriot Front wanted this to go down for some reason, like they were planning to call it on themselves as some sort of, I don't know, I guess, you know, media hit or something. I have no idea. I just saw this rumor. I don't know what your plan would be to get yourself unmasked and get your name published like that. But have you seen this thing that has been going around?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of rumors circulating about this. I don't know. I just, it could be, but I also find it hard to believe that they would intentionally want their faces uncovered like that. But at the same time, lately with all the support they're getting, especially from, you know, the extremist GOP, I wouldn't be surprised with how emboldened everybody is getting on the right. So it's hard to say, but there are a lot of rumors going around. So I don't know.
Right. Have you seen that report about that that one Patriot Front member's mom basically wanting to out him? I
yes.
wonder. I wonder if she has anything, she had anything to do with this.
Yeah. You're talking about the one who I think threatened to kick him out of the house?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, mom, maybe she said something like, you know, she knew that he's part of this group and has been trying to get him out of it. And then basically said it's either the group or you can move out. And apparently he's chosen the group. But it doesn't seem like he's realized that he also needs to move out based on her talking to reporters. What were they charged with? I think that information has been, you know, because their names have all been released. Was it just like planning to incite a riot or something like that? What was the charges?
Yeah. So they were all only charged with conspiracy to riot, which in Idaho is a misdemeanor. Their bail was only $300, which there were two people on the left who were arrested that day for pretty much nothing, and both of their charges were either double or triple what their charges were. Right. So pretty ridiculous, yeah. But it's still too early. I don't know if we're gonna see any Fed charges come out of this, especially with, like, you know, Russo and other people involved like that. But yeah, it's hard to say.
Right. You know, I saw very on brand for him. I saw Andy Ngo tweeting about one of the leftists who were arrested, and his whole angle in his tweet, like the whole way he presented the story, was this is the leftist that got arrested along with the 31 members of Patriot Front. But all you've heard about are the Patriot Front arrests. Why haven't you heard about this person? And he posted what they were charged with, and it was like carrying drug paraphernalia or something like that. It's like, oh, one of the many drug arrests across the country for ridiculous, which is ridiculous to begin with, that people are being arrested for drug use, you know, carrying drug use or whatever. Why haven't we heard about that? Why isn't that a national story? And why is 31 white supremacists hiding in the back of a U-Haul truck being arrested? It just blows my mind that guy even thinks he's fooling anybody, but he is, actually.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, he posted very, very briefly about Patriot Front and just kind of, like, you know, zoomed past it and tried to, like, bury it in his timeline and hide it, and was really saying nothing. Because what's he going to say? It just, he can try to make up a lie about this. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can't stand him. He is garbage.
Yeah. Do we know what they had planned to do, Patriot Front? Like, has that been reported? Especially being that they didn't do anything, and you said the event was, like, winding down, like, what was the whole point? What was the purpose?
It's hard to say. There's not yet an official release. They have said that in the U-Haul they did obtain, like, documented plans on an attack for what they had that day. No idea what that could be. Again, that's something else that has a lot of rumors circulating around it. So I'm really unsure of what their plan was. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Do we know? I guess this has put might have hindered any sort of future plans Patriot Front has. But do we know, you know, what they're planning to do? Have you seen anything about what's next for them?
So a few days before the Pride in the Park rally, Patriot Front released on their Telegram channel a little teaser that they have for a Memorial Day video coming out. And it's just this ridiculous video of them training at some, like, Nazi summer camp. And in it, they kind of mentioned and alluded to having plans on the 4th of July. So as far as I know, they potentially have something planned for the 4th of July. No idea what it is. No idea if it's legit, or maybe it was legit, and after this, that might change things. It's hard to say, but they have insinuated that they had plans on the 4th of July a few times.
All right. And outside of Patriot Front, have you, you know, is there any, a next event that you're looking out for in terms of, like, what the right is going to, various different right groups might descend upon next?
You know, this all kind of happens so fast, so there's nothing nothing specific on the calendar yet, but I do predict this to be a relatively spicy summer, just kind of in the wake with basically this call for genocide against trans and queer people, as well as their attack against, abortion centers and Planned Parenthood. Places like that already got kind of spicy last summer, and I think this year it might escalate even a little bit more, unfortunately.
Right. And I gotta say, I gotta ask, do you have the same problem too? I'm surprised I haven't done this once this episode. I was so sure I would do it. How many times do you mean to say Patriot Front and accidentally refer to Patriot Prayer and vice versa? Happens to me all the time.
It happens. I have to remind myself. I'm like, why are what's up with fascists and their obsession with the word?
Right.
Yeah.
And I have to ask you too, because I talked with this pretty much with, and I sent you two previous episodes I did with like activists and anti-fascists on the West Coast, and I asked them this question too, and I want to ask get your opinion on it. What is what do you think it is about the West Coast that so much of this sort of seems to happen there, like. You know, I live in New York City. We have our own, right wingers and, terrible groups, but like nothing comes to fruition like it does. Like there's no like it's happened, but nowhere near as often or at the level of like full on brawling in parks, brawling in streets, and like the descending from like all sorts of different places up and down the West Coast, and they all come together. And like, what do you think it is about? Why do you think that is?
Well, Oregon has an extremely brutal racist history. That goes way back, and unfortunately, most of that is still very much present. Not just Oregon, but all across the Pacific Northwest. And in addition to that, you have cities like Portland where, it's not as liberal and progressive as I think media makes it out to be. But that being said, there's still a very large, demographic of like in kind of condensed in this pretty small area of people who, are pretty radical leftists and militant anti-fascists who are willing to put their lives on the line to, stand up against these neo-Nazi groups and fight back and make sure that, they aren't welcome in our cities. And I think it's the combination of the two that really kind of makes it a hot spot for a lot of conflict and confrontation. Whereas somewhere like in Idaho, when, also has a very large population and demographic of, violent far-right extremists and neo-Nazi and Christo-fascist groups, but that's kind of like the majority of the demographic, or the rest are, people who might not be as violent, but they still support them. They're not really coming into conflict like that as much.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about only a few more minutes here, but let's talk a little bit about why what do you what's going on right now in this moment? Like we brought it up earlier to set the stage for what happened in Idaho, and I sort of want to bring it full circle here and sort of take a look at how this recent war on trans people and queer people. It's like it's so bizarre to see, and the way they're finding allies that obviously were always there but are more open about it. Like you see like TERFs literally arguing with like Daily Wire pundits about who was the trans hater OG. Like it's so weird to see like this sort of, I mean not weird, but it's so upfront in your face now. Like you always knew they had the same, they were sort of strange bedfellows, but bedfellows nonetheless. But like it's sort of like they're just so open with it now. It's so, is it, what are your feelings on that and sort of how it's sort of playing into this moment?
I think there's a few variables that we should take into account. Earlier we mentioned the 43% increase in 2019 and just kind of the uptick overall. And I think, like you said, the Trump era is a big factor, but Also, this dramatic increase is very likely fueled by continued anti-queer and trans sentiment policy that's been emanating from government officials. I don't think that these attacks are, you know, just random attacks that are happening out of nowhere. Transphobic and homophobic campaigns are now quite literally part of the mainstream media. You know, every day now, pretty much every day now, we're hearing some of the most grotesque comments from people in positions of power and politicians, even like wishing people to just be dead. This is, you know, an attack on people's lives. And, you know, conservatives, but also, you know, members of the extremist GOP are also constantly spewing this kind of garbage. And it's really frightening because I think, like, you know, a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I feel like a lot of these people would not be caught dead having any kinds of connections to these, you know, these violent members on the far right and, you know, these neo-Nazis and these extremists. But now they're openly advocating for them. Patriot Front, the Proud Boys, and other right-wing extremists and neo-Nazi groups have had numerous politicians openly express their support for them lately. You know, we're seeing them in pictures with them. And that's just really scary, especially when the left doesn't really have any kind of support that's even remotely comparable. And when you have these politicians advocating their support for them, it really normalizes a lot of their behavior. And just, it's like a never-ending cycle. It gives them even more support. So, you know, I think it's something that we should all be paying more attention to and really, really focusing on the different ways that we can fight back against this.
I mean, that's a really great point. The idea that, you know, the far right is essentially the institutional right wing now. Like, this is the think tanks. These are the stand up, like, you know, Republicans that supposedly are supposed to, you know, the old school, like, suit and tie. Oh, they just want low taxes and small government. No, that's not really what this is all about anymore. I mean, it never really was, but that was always the facade they put on, and they wore that mask quite well. Now, just completely mask off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's fucking scary, dude.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, you know, I always sort of, to make myself feel better, I guess, I always make it a point to sort of put it in a larger place where it's like, you know, that's sort of the, and this is truly what I think, but it doesn't help, you know, that we're in the moment right now, that this is like, they're the loudest right now because this is their last hurrah. Like, this is their last chance to get everything they want done, because just like the reality of the situation is that, just like generationally too, like by how more diverse and more progressive younger generations are, and, you know, polling and stats show that this isn't like how it was in older generations, where like they always love that whole like, oh, you know, you're you got a heart when you're young, but you get brains and become a conservative when you get older. Like that's not the case anymore. Millennials and Gen Z and ostensibly the generations to come after will not do that, simply because of how fucked up everything is. And yeah. And they sort of see that. I mean, that's why they focus so much on like Youth Reach Out, with like, you know, Turning Point USA's like young group movement and whatever, and all this other dumb shit they try to do. I remember a few years back when I attended some CPACs covering it, they were all about, like, almost every other thing was about, how can we reach out to millennials? We got to get the youth on our side. And it's like, you know, because they know that if they don't get what they want right now, then that the moment is gone. The unfortunate thing is, it seems like they are going to get what they want right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty scary stuff. But I definitely, if there's anything that gives me hope in this moment, it's definitely the youth. I mean, just, it's mind blowing how much smarter they are than my generation. They are on it. I mean, I just, a fucking elementary school organized a walkout a few weeks ago. Like, what? It's really rad. It's definitely rad.
I mean, we could certainly complain and make and completely legitimate complaints about that the gun legislation that was just put together over the weekend. But I mean, at the same time, and I agree with that, those critiques 100%, but at the same time, it was the direct result of a mass movement of young people putting together these large anti-gun rallies across the country in the wake of that school shooting in Uvalde. And I mean, you know, just, I think honestly, any step's a good step, and that was a good step. Any step in the right direction, at least. Alyssa Azar, independent journalist covering right-wing violence in the Pacific Northwest. This was fantastic, and your coverage of this event really, I can't stress how important it was. I mean, literally, you were the person that everyone was referring to and sourcing and linking to. Because you were right there when this all went down, when the cops pulled them out of the U-Haul and had them kneel down, and all your coverage before that on the various different right-wing groups and personalities who were harassing people at this Pride event in Idaho. So thank you so much for everything you did, and I know you've done great work before. So tell people, where can they find you online and follow you and catch what you've already done and catch your future work too?
Thank you so much. First, I just want to say that I really, really appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at Alyssa Azar. That's AlyssaAzar. And I'm also on Instagram at Revolution Daddy. It's R3. So it's a 3 as an E. So just Revolution Daddy on Instagram.
All right. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I hope you'll come back and you know, the next time you help out a bunch of fascists.
Thank you.
That's always a good story to cover.
Yeah, I look forward to being on here again. Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/mattbinder and subscribe to a monthly membership. It helps me run this show. It helps me. Literally, I am a one-man band here. I mean, obviously, aside from the great guests who provide their analysis and reporting and coverage. But in terms of, like, this show directly, booking those great guests, getting the show together, the producing, the tech side of things, the getting the content out afterwards as a podcast, dealing with all other sorts of stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's me. So patreon.com/mattbinder to help me grow the show and hopefully very soon make it so it's not just me and I could get some... a person or two to maybe help out and help me grow this show. You can also support this show by subscribing to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/mattbinder and dropping a super chat in the live stream, or if you're listening or watching the replay of this show as a podcast or a YouTube video, you can just go to the YouTube video and drop a super thanks, which is like a live stream super chat, but you could do it after the live stream is over. Also, you could support this show by going to twitch.tv/mattbinder and following the Twitch channel where I simulcast the show. And if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, connect your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. And then from there, what you can do is give a free Twitch Prime subscription to your favorite Twitch creator every month. That's right, Amazon gives you a free Twitch subscription once a month if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, and you can give that out to any creator. I'm telling you this information because I hope you give it to me. It's literally like by not giving it to anyone. Like if you're not going to give it to me, give it to somebody who you like on Twitch. Because by not giving it to somebody, you're letting Amazon just keep that free money they're giving you. Like they literally, I usually say it's like your Robin Hood. You're stealing from Jeff Bezos and giving to me or your favorite creator. But it's not even that because Amazon, you're not even doing anything that could get you into trouble. It's sanctioned robbery. Amazon's literally giving you the free Twitch Prime subscription. They want you to take a portion of what you give them for Amazon Prime and give it to someone on Twitch. So do it. Don't let them keep it. So twitch.tv/MattBender if you'd like to do that. Doomedcast.com for the podcast version of the show and all the links to where you can catch that. I'm a little behind on uploading the podcast version of the show. I've been behind because I've been so busy lately, but the podcast version should be caught up by the end of this week. Because I do like audio fixes because, you know, when you're watching video, it's a little bit easy to, you know, while you're also watching visual to listen to audio that may not be like perfectly mixed. But if you're just listening to audio, it's a little bit, you know, I try to make it a little bit, better in post. Scameconomy.com for Scam Economy, my crypto critique, critical skeptic, whatever you want to call it, my anti-crypto show, Scameconomy.com. Check that out. What else? Follow me on Twitter at Matt Binder. Did another calling out libs of TikTok for their misinformation. They basically claimed they were getting a threat from someone, from a radical leftist, and they used proof, and Glenn Greenwald shared it, and then I looked into this radical leftist, and it turned out that they were a supporter of Libs of TikTok, a right-wing supporter, who thought they were sending Libs of TikTok a joke, like sarcastically sending them a joke that they thought they would get, and then was, they could not believe the harassment they got from Libs of TikTok, a little taste of their own medicine, and ended up deleting their account. So yeah, follow me on Twitter if you want some fun. What else? I think that's it for now, right? What else? I don't know. I never know what I forget to promote. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for both my shows, Doomed and Scam Economy. Literally takes just a second. If you can't give to Patreon, if you can't give a super chat or a super thanks, if you can't drop a Twitch subscription via Prime or whatever, you got, you know, your times are tough. Inflation's killing you. I get it. I always say, take care of yourself and your family first. But leaving a review is free and quick and easy. And it's a great way to help more people find out about this show. So if you can, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'd greatly appreciate it. And with that, we are going to go to the second half of the show, where you, that's right, you the listener, can call in on the live stream episode after Scam Economy on Thursday. I ended up going like 5 hours long on the live stream because I had a number of great calls, but then had someone who found me from my appearance on Tim Pool's show a couple weeks back call into the show. And we had in my opinion, a very fascinating discussion. He's someone who says he used to be, he used to consider himself to be on the left, but certain things over the past couple of years made him move more to the right. I thought it was a really good discussion. People really seemed to enjoy it. So definitely check that out on the post show from Thursday, the live stream post show from Thursday, if you'd like. Maybe we'll get another call like that. I've been having, honestly, like almost every episode, someone who discovered me from Tim, sometimes multiple people who discovered me from a Tim Pool show calling in. And that's a good sign. All right, folks. That's why I went on the show, right? To reach out to that audience who doesn't quite realize that the person they're listening to isn't exactly presenting himself in the most accurate light. And that's putting it nicely. All right, folks, I'm going to go to the second half of the show. You call in by opening up Skype, download Skype if you don't already have it, and type in and search for Doomed Live, and then call me on there. The username will pop up, and you can just call right in. Doomed Live, search that in Skype, and you could call in. I take the calls as they come in. I'm going to take a quick break. If you're watching the live stream, if you're watching, if you're, you know, a patron subscriber, or you're watching, you don't have to be a patron subscriber if you're watching the live stream, but if you're here right now, you can stay around and you'll catch this, even if you're not a patron subscriber, Patreon subscriber. But if you just listen to the freebie podcast, this is where I say, see you later. So yeah, join me for the second half, and everybody else, I will see you next time on Doomed.